Greetings from Podcastville. It's Monday, May 4th. The church is brought to you by and welcoming Magic Spoon. Let me ask you a question. Remember when you were a kid and you ate breakfast cereal, sitting in your pajamas, watching cartoons, then you drink the milk? Wouldn't it be fun to be a kid again? What do you think? How fun is it to be a kid now versus then? Now they got nothing for you. They got no good cartoons, no good cereals. Well, I'll tell you what. Magic Spoon cereal gives you all the flavor and the crunch of a kid's cereal, but it's healthy for an adult. You ready for this? 0 grams of sugar and 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. And 12 grams of protein. Who needs a prize when you got all that in one fucking box? And it tastes good. I got to be honest with you. They sent me the chocolate. They sent me the Fruit Loops. Whoa. My favorite is the chocolate so far and the birthday cake.
The birthday cake?
Oh, shit. The birthday cake will rock your world. So whatever you're craving, they got cocoa, fruity, and blueberry. Plus a variety pack that lets you try all the flavors. It's like a walk down memory lane. So do me a favor right now. Go to magicspoon.com/church to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to press in code CHURCH, CHURCH, at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed by 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/church and use promo code CHURCH for free shipping. When you try the chocolate cocoa, your mind is going to fucking blow up. I can't mention that. It is delicious, nutritious, and fucking yummy. Plus, it's gluten-free. You know, I'm giving a box to Dean because he's diabetic. I gave a box to one of Mercy's friends. She called back right away that she loved it. So do me a favor right now. Go to magicspoon.com/church and grab a variety pack and press in church at checkout and get free shipping. The church is also brought to you by, oh shit, if you feel like you're living in Groundhog Day where every day is the same, Uncle Joey got some news for you. For you fucking savages, life without sports is finally coming to an end. Why? Because this motherfucking Saturday, you got Ferguson against Gaethje. That's right, UFC 249. From Florida, Jacksonville, with those fucking savages, their animales. Then we got Wednesday the 13th and 16th, Saturday the 16th. So we got action, okay? Plus, I got some fucking news I'll let you know later on. But you can be in the house watching with everybody right now, and my bookie's got the goods. Whether you want to bet the over and under, submissions, or knockouts, they got it all. And they got it that it's non. And if that's not enough this Saturday, just for being a church family, my bookie is giving out a risk-free bet up to $49. That's right, risk-free. So this Saturday, May 9th, Monday and Sunday's Mother's Day. Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Get your mother something, cocksucker. But after that, before that, you got the UFC Saturday night. Do me a favor. Head on over to mybookie.ag/Joey. Make a few bets. Right now, they're giving you 50% on your initial deposit and bonus funds. Joey, what does that mean? That means if you deposit a Gino LaRue, a.k.a. $1,000, they'll give you an extra $500 just like that. More money in your pocket to play with and more opportunity to win. Who's better than you? Open up your browser, punch in mybookie.ag/Joey, and get ready to make some geeters. Who's better than you? Bet, win, get paid. Kick this motherfucking Mule League.
Oh, shit.
It all starts fucking today, all right?
No more fucking excuses. This is the year of the fucking soldier. We're going in like fucking Marines. You understand me?
Welcome to church, motherfucker.
Welcome to church, motherfucker. Uncle Joey here, Monday. The 4th. Fucking Cinco de Mayo. Come on, you gotta spend the house. You got to get a piñata, beat it up in your house by yourself, drinking tequila. That's it. You get six fat Mexicans tomorrow, it's all over. COVID starts all over again.
It's like Groundhog's Day?
It's like what?
If you see six Mexicans, it starts all over again?
Yeah, so don't even get together tomorrow. Leave it alone, especially if you're a little overweight like me. You see a fat Mexican, move over. Especially tomorrow. It could be COVID day down there in Texas. You know, Texas is free. Tennessee is free. No fucking live music or live entertainment. And Atlanta, I'm praying for you. I know Georgia's open. I hope you're making the best of it. But who gives a fuck? It's Monday the 4th, and you still got to do what the fuck you got to do. You understand me? We're going to open up today with this joint of Triple X from Urban Trees. Delicious. I've been getting stoned like a motherfucker again. You understand me? Fuck the COVID. As long as I'm exercising, I'm smoking reefer. How's that one for you? And this week, I had a good week. I discovered, you guys have no idea. Listen, I could do a Patreon of just videos of me riding a bicycle and you pay. You understand me? You have no idea what comedy is until you see me on my wife's bicycle fucking holding on to those bicycle things like it's my world. Right now, my triceps hurt more than anything else in my body. You understand me? You could hit me in the head with a bat, I won't even react because of holding on to those handlebars for fucking dear life. I started off slow. She got the bike last week. I did like 5 minutes. No. Hold on. Let me spark this joint so I can tell you the story correctly because I don't miss a fucking line here. So you guys know the humor that I have in my life by itself. I don't need microphones. I'm thinking about it later. I should just get a fucking camera with a stick like a selfie film. That's all I need. Then you can see me full life electrocute myself with the fucking hearing aids when I wash my face. You can live it. You can see all the stupidity and all the dumb shit.
Wait, you electrocute?
Let's not get into it, please. Don't embarrass me. I got enough problems I got to tell these people about. So, here's for you, motherfuckers. A little number. Just to let you know, I'm thinking about you and I love you, motherfuckers, with all my heart. And I know it's a tough time, but we're going through this motherfucker together. So strap on a pair, bitch. We're all going to get stronger than shit from this. So, you can just do so much with your kids. So we got the bike. She got the little retard helmet. I put her around the neighborhood. She has a good time. She learned how to ride her bike during the fucking break. So I'm very excited about that. So my wife says, you know what? Maybe I should get a bike. I go, you should get a bike. So we went looking around. And all the bike, usually a bike place has bicycles outside. Not here. They got them inside. Like, everybody's going to hide them from you. Like, so I got to go inside and buy a bike. Fuck it. I'll just make my own bike. So my wife goes, I could order one online. I go, yeah, order a Huffy online. Like one of those cheap Huffies. And she did. I get home one day. There's a bicycle, like a Puerto Rican. She's building the bicycle in the living room. Her and Mercy. They're putting WD-40 on the chain, the whole fucking deal. Oh. Now, when somebody tells me they're building their own bicycle, I don't get on that bicycle unless you're a bicycle builder because I know there's going to be a fucking problem. So, not to mention, I got a lot. When it comes to bicycles and shit like that, I got a lot of bad karma coming to me, and I know this already. That's why I stopped riding bicycles because I just got a lot of bad karma. For years I rode a bicycle and people were always getting fucking killed on them and shit. I feel like I got a lump coming to me, so I got to be careful. I ordered the helmet, though. I did order a helmet. But let's get to that story. So I see my wife building the bicycle, and I go, do me a favor. Double-check the pedal bars so the pedals don't break. Double-check the thing, the chain, because I worry about my wife. Put some thing on the chain and make sure you screw in the fucking handlebars. Why do I say that? We go back to 1978 when Valentin Ferro was going down my block in the Apollo Racer and he almost killed himself on the fucking thing because the handlebars weren't on right. So a friend of mine calls me and he goes, hey, I'm taking my kids to the park. We're social distancing. If you'd like to go to get your daughter some air, I go, absolutely. As a matter of fact, my wife got a bike. I'll walk over, and my wife and daughter will ride the bike. They get there half hour before me. You know me. I'm fucking taking my time. I'm getting vitamin D. No problem. I get to the thing. My wife and daughter doing somersaults with the other four kids around the track. There's nobody at the fucking park at 3 o'clock. Fucking these are many guns come out after 4:30 like vampires. 5 o'clock in my neighborhood, there's a fucking parade. But before that, you could rob 10 houses, but you really can't because they're all in the house. There's nobody out. So my wife is talking to the lady. Everybody's got masks on. We're very social distancing. I'm looking at her bike, and I figured, what the fuck? Let me get on her bike and give it a spin. It's been a long time, you know, but bike is like getting your dick sucked. It's like sucking a dick for a fag. It's something you'll never forget. You know what I'm saying? Once you suck a dick, you'll never forget it. So I get on the bicycle. Guys, when I finally got my balance, I almost had a nervous breakdown. I felt muscles work. I hadn't worked in years. I just started shivering on the bicycle. And I have no reason to lie to you guys. After 2 minutes tops, my whole body broke out into this sweat. Like that anxiety, fear sweat, because I really hadn't been on a bicycle, and here I am pedaling. You know, it's not a 5-speed bike. It's a Puerto Rican bike. It's leg power. You know what I'm saying? Those are Chinese bicycles. They're leg power. Unless you're coming direct from Wuhan, your legs better be fucking strong. So I'm pedaling. Guys, after 2 minutes, I stopped to make believe I was answering a question. But I stopped because my body had a nervous fucking breakdown.
Wow.
So I went home that night. I did my regular workout. I said, fuck it. I'm going to do 5 minutes on the bike today. So every day before they leave at 8:15 in the morning, I jump out there, get on the bike before I take a shower, and I just ride it down to the corner. So every day, I just started adding 5 minutes. So when they leave, sometimes when we all leave together, I go with them. And when they get sick and tired of riding, I walk while they ride. And then when they get sick and tired of riding, I take my wife's fucking little Nazi helmet. You got to see me. I look like Hitler. Quit going to Weight Watchers. You got to see me. You got to see me with this helmet on. It's like Hitler. All you got to put is a little stash on me. And Jules will be parked fucking flying off Koufax with that car.
Is it pink or something?
No, it's a Hitler helmet. It's like a green Nazi helmet.
Oh, wow.
Really? I didn't buy it to be a Nazi. You know me. I got class.
Yeah.
My wife, all those helmets look like Nazi. Like, when I was growing up, those helmets looked okay. Like Mercy's is okay. Right. But the one they sent Terry, Nazi. Nazi. Those people down at the fucking Capitol jumping up and down right now with weapons and shit. So I put it on. I look like Hitler, like a fat Hitler. I look like Hitler in Argentina years later. You know what I'm saying? When he was relaxing.
Eating chorizo.
Eating chorizo. Him and Mangalo, whatever his name is. The other fucking Nazi.
Mengele.
What's his name?
Mengele.
Mengele, yeah. Whatever his fucking name is. So every day I've been riding my bike. 5, 10, 15. So right now I'm up to 25 fucking minutes. But I got to tell you something. Every muscle in my lower body and in my sides hurt. But I don't give a fuck. It's been an adventure. This is, like I told you, there's going to be a silver lining to this quarantine. We got a lot. We got a lot of shit going. It's so funny how my creativity has responded lately for fucking 4 or 5 weeks. I couldn't get arrested. Now I'm outlining. I'm trying to outline this fucking book. I'm trying to do this audio book. I see Lee brought his flies back in.
I can't believe he's goddamn it. Those flies are back.
And they're back on him heavy because he's sweating all that old hummus out by walking. So it sits on his skin and it's like a fucking, he's like a frosted flake. You know what I'm saying? He's like a little sugar ball right now. All these flies want to sniff his neck.
God damn it.
That's what happens when he works out. That's the downfall of when Lee works out, that flies become his friends again. He's at home right now with 2 flies, petting them, singing Bentham, and whatever the fuck he does. This joint's on fire, but hey, you can't walk on 1 fucking leg. We're doing a little edible. It's Monday out of respect to you motherfuckers. I didn't bring one to Lee. Last time I gave one of these to Lee, we're just sleeping here 8 hours before the cops came.
In here? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we can't do that at the end of Monday morning. You got shit to do and people to see. On top of that, I don't want to share it with you because then I give you the COVID. You know what I'm saying? Who knows if I got it?
I think you don't want to share.
I don't want to share. Fuck it. I'm going deep on a Monday morning out of respect for the church family. Salud. Fuck it. You can't walk on 1 leg, motherfuckers. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, as promised, since this new COVID and this new situation, you know, we had to lose a lot of guests and move a lot of guests around. I finally remodernized myself. And boom, we got Zoom, motherfuckers. And like I promised you guys, I want to do a little comeback here. I want to go back to the early days of church when it was just us and, we had a certain guest pool because we weren't in the same guest pool as everybody else. So what I want to do out of respect for my church is, the audio book is, I want to interview a couple of my friends on the podcast just so you get to meet them, get the mentality, get to understand what they're coming from. Today I got a kid that I've been friends with. Are you ready for this? For 43 years.
Wow.
I've met him the summer of my eighth grade year playing the guitar. It took us 2 years to connect. And after that, you couldn't break us apart. When I call him before my mother died. You know how they have BC and AC? He's before my mother died. So he's family. He went to my mother's wake. He came to her funeral. And I consider him a brother. His name is Steve Avillo. He's got two older brothers, and they considered me brothers. And when my mother died, Steven even asked me if I wanted a bedroom in the house. So we've reconnected over the years through comedy and his band called the Pastmasters, which is, he's an IT guy, as you see in the interview. I know him for 40 years. I don't know what the fuck he does. I don't care. He's my brother. I don't need to know what he does. We reconnect. He does a little videos, this series. On his Facebook every night, Steven Avillo, if you follow him, he does music, and he's a great musician. I mean, let me tell you something. This kid's been a musician since I met him. His common sense and his Italianism and his whole thing, kept him into the family life. He's got a beautiful family. I grew up with his wife. I know his two daughters. Just a beautiful, beautiful individual. When I'm raising Mercy, I think about this guy a lot. And I think about his parents raised him because he's got two other brothers and himself, and all three of them are gentlemen. This is Steve Avillo. I hope you enjoy the interview. Knock yourself out. Kick it, Lee.
Steve, I know you're 40 years. I don't even know what you do for work.
I'm an IT guy. So I basically do, IT support, engineering, you find new things and you figure out ways of how they fit the business and stuff like that. So it just keeps me busy and out of trouble. My kids' friends think I'm in the CIA because I'm on with China and different countries all hours of the night. So that's hysterical.
For people who don't know, I grew up with Steven back in North Bergen. We met when I was about 14. I went to one of his band things at the Little League Field, and your guitar broke. You were playing with John Rego. It had to be summer of 78. Who was the bass player for you then?
Dennis DiCarlo.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's the first time I met you, because I didn't grow up really. I lived in North Bergen, but I went to school in Kearney, so I didn't really do anything much in North Bergen. Just you in the city where my mother had the bar, so that's why I didn't know you cats growing up. And then once I got thrown out of Catholic school, I was forced to hook up with you fucking savages.
Lucky you. was Johnny Rago's band, by the way. That was his band. Yeah, him and Mike Beckenbach, Mike Liebau, Dennis DiCarlo on bass, and Jerry Schwartz, the late Jerry Schwartz, was their singer, but they let me sit in with them. So that's the funny thing. When you saw us, they were nice enough to let me sit. They were letting a little punk sit in with them,
You were like 13.
Yeah.
Because I was about 13, 12, 13, 14. And I still remember, not tripping. We were just smoking pot back then. And me going up there and the guitar string breaking. Huh?
I wasn't even doing that yet.
At 13. No, we weren't doing dick at that age. I was a fucking athlete. I played basketball.
Was high school was definitely definitely when things started to change.
Let me ask you this. You know, when I've been doing the podcast for 7 years, and when I talk about North Bergen, Steve, was it like another world we grew up in?
It's another world, another time. I wouldn't trade it for the world, that's for sure.
I still remember banging on Ernie's door, the bar on 39th Street there, and kept off of Kennedy, and like, you bang on the door, he would sleep on the pool table, and you'd bang on his door at 4 in the morning, and he had the coldest beer in the world. You could just wake him up. Like, where else could that shit happen? You know, I remember one of the early times I played hooky with you, we were just walking past Wizards, because we used to go to a place, Wizards, to get like nickel bags and stuff. I don't know who the creepy guy was in Wizards, like pedophiles hung out up there and stuff like that. Like, I never even went into Wizards until I went to high school. Like, I never knew Wizards existed. And I remember one morning walking past Wizards, and the guy was delivering beer to the liquor store there that later became Ashways. And like the others, they already had a system on how to throw the beer guy off, and we would open up the back and take a case of beer and run.
Yeah.
And then they would chase us. And I remember one time we brought a case into the high school. And Miss Lee asked me to open up my locker. And I told him unless he had a warrant, he couldn't open up, because I had like a 12-pack of Michelob in there or some shit. Because everybody took the 6-packs out and hit them in the lockers.
Yeah.
That time on, I told Mr. Lee, get the fuck out of my face, that if he didn't have a warrant, he wasn't getting in my locker. And that was the end of my relationship with Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee was a tough bastard.
He was fucking tough.
Ex-Marine.
And then years later, we made amends, and we became friends. And when I lived in Colorado, I would keep in touch with him.
Wow.
Then one day, his son called me and told me he died.
Yeah. Memories. I can still remember. Were you with us? Were you with us when it was so damn cold outside? We went into it was the senior polls. We were juniors. I don't know if you were with me. I know Dee Dee was there. You probably were there.
I was there.
We had in our jackets. We had put all the beers in the jackets to go in, and we had finished everything. We went into the bathroom. We're down in the last beer at Zebulewski, and
yes, I was with you.
They come storming in. And like all the drink. Places in North Bergen for you to drink, why do you have to drink here at the school? And Didi turns around and he goes, have you been outside tonight? It's fucking freezing.
And then the next day, they made us all go downstairs and sit in the room, and Mr. Dalton bailed us out.
Yeah.
Mr. Dalton came in, God bless his soul.
Thank God.
And he goes, these guys are good kids. Let them go. And, you know, we never even got a fucking fraction, nothing. I mean, it was such a... I still remember clipping a case of quartz that weren't cold, and we had to put them in somebody's tub and put ice on them.
Yes.
Because you know how cold it is? You know how long it takes to fucking chill a fucking quart of beer? Like, I don't know how many beer trucks we robbed, but it was pretty fucking hysterical when we were kids.
It was a lot more when one of us started to drive. Like when Sharples is 2 years older than us, when Tommy used to drive. That was the best thing, because you didn't need anybody to distract. You would just kind of circle the block, like on Broadway and stuff, by Embassy Liquors, and you'd keep an eye. The beer truck would pull up. You'd watch the guy, watch him load up his truck. You'd watch him go in. As soon as he went in, flew down the block, ripped open the sign. You just started passing cases of beer into the car, and you take.
I remember one time robbing cases of beer, and they would hold the back of my pants. So you could hang out the window and pass the beers into the car. I mean, it was so, because of us, now they have two drivers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and nice. And if it wasn't the beer truck, it was the Albertsons on Bergen Line Avenue. I remember taking a gallon of wine, that Rosé, Martini and Rossi cooking wine. I remember taking a gallon once, running out of Albertsons and going into Hudson County Park and drinking the whole fucking thing and having a hangover for a whole goddamn weekend. Oh. Like, I had the worst headache. I never drank wine again.
from that. Yeah, well, cheap wine give you a bad hangover, man.
Fucking Albertsons had no security in the mornings. And we would just basically walk in there, take the beers, and run the fuck out. It's hard to even, you know, it's hard to even, our childhoods. And you were a good guy. Like, you were like a straight A type of guy. I still remember, you know, you were like, we explain to the people listening, we were out 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
We were out 6 nights a week. Our light night was Sunday night. That was like, we're just smoking 10 joints tonight. And we're drinking a 6-pack each. That was our late night. Our light night was Saturdays. But we were out, we found an excuse for anything to go out. And we drank out in the cold.
Yeah. You drank out in the cold. It didn't matter if it was snow. Didn't matter if it was snowing. You'd be out in a foot of snow.
And we had drinking gloves.
One glove.
We had drinking gloves.
We had gloves
that the tips were cut off and shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, when I look at you when you come to the shows, I'm so happy because it's like, my life is like Jesus. It's like before Christ died and after Christ died. And you were one of my friends before my mom passed. And one of the best stories I tell people is, you know, your brother was older than us and he had his own clique and they were great to hang around with them. They were crazy.
Mm.
And you invited me and somebody else over to a party once. This had to be September of 79. We were sophomores. And your brothers made this thing, and they made it in garbage cans. Tell these fucking people.
You're talking about the punch, right?
The punch.
They would go and get, like, big blocks of ice from trailer park. They'd steal them from the trailer park. They'd buy one bag of ice and steal, like, 12 blocks of ice. Sherbert, drink mix, stuff like that. And then they put water in from a hose. And then every and any bottle that people could bring was poured into that. I mean, it was Bacardi, there was scotch, vodka, gin, moonshine. Anything and everything went into that punch, including insects. killing bees and knocking the bees into the punch. And it was,
and then somebody threw a shoe in there.
It was like that freaking cake from the Little Rascals, right? He bites into it and gets the mouse trap, the shoe.
That night, I remember, I don't know what I drank. It was like beer and the punch combined. And I fell asleep on Richie Sensulo's lawn. If I walked to your house, I would have to walk past Richie Sensulo's house.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived like a block and a half from you, say?
Yeah.
Headed towards Five Corners.
Yep.
And I'll never forget that Ray Onesto woke me up, the cop that used to always play basketball with us with colored socks. It used to drive me crazy. We had two teachers that played with us. It was him. He played basketball with us, Ray Onesto, and Mr. Ketterer. Mr. K with the crew cut. But I still remember I liked Ray Onesto, but whenever he came to play basketball with him, we throw elbows at him just because he always wore colored socks and we weren't having it. Like in those days, if you went to gym class with colored socks, they would send you home because if you stepped on glass, the ink would go into your bloodstream or some shit.
You know, when you played basketball on those courts, too, those courts were not tame. They were rough. Those were some great games.
51st Street had some great games.
31st Street.
51st
Tunley Avenue. Right there. Remember the courts right on Tunley?
Yes. That's where I played with Albie Munez, Zulo. Those were some tough games there. 38th Street Court.
You had the courts Henry up by Hatchways.
The courts by Hashways. Jesus, I remember playing one-on-one there at 3 in the morning. With Richie Sensulo and Danny Calandrillo, my 8th grade summer.
Wow.
That's crazy shit. Like, no curfew. Did you have a curfew? I don't remember us having a curfew. Really.
I did have a curfew. I remember I was supposed to be home by 11. And a lot of times going home, I'd run into my brothers, especially my brother Mike. My brother Mike would always say, "Where you going?" I'm like, "Going home." "Yeah, get in the car. I'll call mom." So he'd stop, you know, they'd be going to get more beer, whatever. He'd stop at a payphone. "Yeah, Steven's with me." And then I'd be out till who knows what time, you know. But, yeah, it was like, I think when I was a freshman and sophomore, it was like 11. Junior, I was allowed out to like midnight to 1. And then senior year, there was no curb. Like, even if there was one, it was not adhered to. You know, you just show up.
There's a comedian in town. His name is Brett Ernst. He's from New Jersey. And he does a bit that in Jersey, there's always that one kid who doesn't go home. Like, he just does. When he said the bit, I was dying of laughter because downtown, I was that kid. I had nowhere to go, so I wouldn't go home. And uptown, it was Mike Moore. There was a kid named Mike Moore. I just bumped into him in Rudy's about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But you could be walking home. You had already given up on the night. You're like, fuck it, I'm going home. And all of a sudden, boom, you bump into Mike Moore. And the night was just fucking starting, you know. Like, I wouldn't go home. Me and Didi had no reason to go home, so we would stay with you. You had a shed,
yeah.
Thank God, that had a pair of drums in it. And
those Lowenstein drums, Danny Lowenstein.
Right? He still pissed at me from playing his fucking drums because we used to play Fairies Wear Boots and shit at night. You know, my childhood was spent for 2 years in that fucking shed, you know.
Yeah. A lot of good times back there. You notice no pictures. Not one.
No pictures. We have no pictures. We weren't a picture society.
Thank God.
You couldn't take out a fucking selfie those days. They'd break your arm.
Actually, if somebody took a selfie, they would have beat him up.
Yeah, we would have beat him up. There was no selfies. There was really no pictures of us when we were kids. That wasn't accepted.
No.
At a party, you know, I told, I went down, my friend created a show called This Is Not Happening. And before it was created in the back of the improv, in a thing called like the workspace, no alcohol, no nothing. And I went down there to tell a story about something. And while I was down there, Mark Maron was telling a story about going to a concert. So right there, I had to call an audible and tell them the experience we had at the age of 15 in 1979, what we went through to get Pink Floyd tickets. I want you to start from the beginning, from the night before.
Oh, my God. I can still remember, what was it, folk with the joint, and the joint or the ashes fell on his lap or would burn his shirt. He's like putting himself out, driving full speed down the boulevard. And he's doing this, not paying attention to where he's going, like, we're all screaming in the car. I was going all over the freaking road.
I remember he hit a barrel. We went out to, like, I think you told me the night before. I was hip to Pink Floyd. I had Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
When I met you, I had Dark Side of the Moon. And then my mom passed November 8th. And if you look at it, The Wall came out November 29th of 1979. And tickets went on sale closely right after that for the Nassau Coliseum, which is obviously in February, you know. And you told me the night before to get my money together. We're getting tickets, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we had to play hooky. We cut out of school. You, myself, and Lebrano. And I don't know how we ended up with Joe Folk. He was 4 years older than us.
Yeah.
I don't know how we ended up with Joe Folk. And first we went to the Paramus Mall to get tickets. And they didn't have them. And then we went to St. Peter's Prep.
Yeah, down Jersey City.
That's where we got the tickets for $15.50.
Think about that.
Huh?
Think about that.
You think about that. $15.50. And we got the tickets, and we were like, it's tough for me to just, you know, one of our friends lost their mom last week, Glenn Conte, you know.
Yeah.
And I spoke with Keith, God bless their mom and stuff. And it was weird because I didn't even have a chance to mourn. As soon as I was getting ready to mourn my mother, you guys started playing the fucking war. And it was like a 60-day countdown to the war.
Yeah.
We did everything every night. We put the wall on every night. Every party we went to, the wall was on. Yeah. You know, I still remember going to parties and somebody had Springsteen on. We'd take Springsteen on off and put the fucking wall on.
That's right.
And it was, you know, Christmas. We didn't care. We were just waiting for the war. It was our saving night. And we got tickets for opening night. Yeah. Right? We got tickets for opening night. And I think in the process of that, before the war, was the evening on the island.
Yes. That was before it got really cold, yeah.
What was, yeah, because
No. That was when it was really cold because we had to wait for the lake to freeze over. I'm having a senior moment here.
No, yeah. Listen to me. The lake froze over in January.
Yes.
We went to see the wall in February. So that January was when, in Hudson County Park, this little island in the middle, and there's water around it. What do you say, 30 yards of water around it?
About that.
And we would wait till it freezes up, and Anthony's older brother, your older brother, would roll kegs on the ice, and we'd have to walk across the island to go to the Island of Insanity party. Fucking Dana White thinks he's building an island. We didn't even build an island. We just went on it with nothing on there, with kegs of beer. And I remember that night I froze my ass off. Like it was freezing, and I ate a Quaalude. And I ended up with Chirpy and Focaccia at Wing Fung's Chinese restaurant. The place that we used to run out of, dine and dash out of all the time. Mm. And Folk was so hammered that he fell asleep in the pork fried rice. And he was breathing. He was breathing the pork fried rice into his nose. And when the Chinese guy woke him up, he had like little drops of rice coming out of his nose. And me and Lubes were howling. And then we ran out of there because you never paid at the Wing Fun.
No, that was the Berkshire. It used to be the last guy's got it. And the last guy was always the fastest one.
I never ran out of the Berkshire because I liked that fucking cream of turkey soup too much.
Yeah.
It always came with a hair in it or something like that.
That was Hashway's potato salad.
That's Hashway's potato salad. God rest their soul.
Exactly.
The macaroni salad would always have a hair around one of the macaronis. If you didn't get hair, you felt like you got beat.
You were unloved.
Like you were unloved. If you didn't get a piece of hair in your sandwich, people complain about a piece of hair now, you know.
Yeah.
But I still even told the story when we went to the concert. And there was one point, the concert's on YouTube, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That night that we went, it's on YouTube. And it's so weird that at one point, like the concert was at 8. And I think me, you, and Lubes met like at 11 in the morning. We got ready early. And when we got there, there was probably 50 kids from our neighborhood.
Easy.
At opening night. Easy. We had like the whole, I remember we had our trunks open at the Nassau Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out there freezing. Gamio was yelling some shit about, are there any queers in the theater tonight or some shit, just yelling. We were laughing our asses off. But the scene I remember vividly is in between take one and two when the balloons come up. And Focaccia was burning the balloons as they were landing. And you and me were just sitting there. We were kids, man.
Yeah, he was popping them with the lighter.
He was popping them with the lighter. And we had like some girl behind us or in front of us. And she's like, sir, why do you keep burning the balloons or something? And he's like, Satan doesn't like balloons.
Yeah.
And the chick just looked at us, got up, and never came back. It was just a different time growing up. It was... I don't know how many times we went to the garden.
That was an experience in and of itself, just the whole trip down there. It was like such an event, right? You know, when you think about it, that we used to get together early, right? We'd get together early, we'd party and everything, and then we'd walk up to Kennedy Boulevard and catch the bus. And you catch the bus, at, say, at the top of 46th Street. If you came over to the shed and everything, we'd walk up 46th Street Hill. You catch the bus there, and on the bus already would be friends of ours from different parts of town. There'd be the pack from up in the 70s, pack down by, you know, like the 50s and 60s, the projects. We'd get on. There'd be more people down a little bit further, and then you'd head into, you know, Port Authority. Once you got off, the walk down 8th Avenue was another trip, you know. It was a whole big procession until you got there, you know. So it was just such an experience.
We were 15.
You can't even.
Stephen, we were 15.
Yeah.
So many things could have happened to us. And we would walk around like we ran that fucking city. We didn't give a fuck.
No.
We were 15 years old. No, I still remember going to see Ted with you with AC/DC.
Yeah.
August 4th, 79. How many of us were at that concert from North Bergen?
There were 100 of us. We were the lunatics in orchestra that were throwing the chairs in the air. Do you remember that? Do you remember that giant pile of chairs? That whole section of orchestra just started throwing chairs in the air during Ted's encore.
I still remember going to see the New Barbarians with a bunch of North Bergen people.
Yeah, I don't think I was with you that night, but I was
there. No, I wasn't with you. I was with Mike Denny, the devil.
Yeah, Mike Denny was, yeah. That's a good name.
Mike Denny, the devil. He's doing time now.
Whatever really?
He is. Yeah, God bless his soul. But just that experience that we had of going into New York City whenever we wanted to.
Yeah.
Our parents had no idea. We could tell them we were going up the corner and we could be in the city within, you know, 10 minutes. And what connected you and me was our love for music. We went to every fucking concert, you know. How many times did you go to the Palladium as a kid?
Palladium more than the Capitol Theater, because you had to drive to get to the Capitol Theater. So, yeah, the Palladium a lot.
I didn't see a lot of people at the Capitol Theater. I only saw, like, Missing Persons later on with Fernie at the – and I went to see – I was telling the story about – eating Quaaludes with Fernie and Roger and going to see Pat Benatar, and we got so high that the usher thought we were handicapped and they put us in the handicapped section.
Oh, God.
And we just sat there like, fuck it, ride with it. They better take it than we had. What song are you working on today, my brother?
Oh, God, I haven't even thought about it. I have a couple that I was playing around with. One was Heart of the Matter by Henley. What was the other one I was monkeying around with? I was monkeying around with it's a song by STP. Interstate Love Song. You know
tremendous.
That one? Yeah.
Tremendous, yeah.
So I have a couple of different things I've been playing. Like I know most of these songs, so I relearn them because I've forgotten half of them. So I relearn them, and when I feel like, you know, I feel like I have the time to sit down like I have this week, I'll sit down and I'll record it and throw it out there. And if people like it, they like it. They don't. It's okay. I don't care.
it's amazing the directions our lives took. I mean, your love for music is still evident. You still have a band, the Past Masters. You play all over the tri-state area. And I still sit here in shock that I ended up a comedian. I mean, I can't believe it. You know,
it was funny.
What's that?
You were always funny.
I think I was more of a trickster as a kid. You know, we always had, when we got on the bus, I mean, we had to walk those hills. A couple of years ago, you had some type of surgery. And I remember saying to you that you're going to be fine because we walked those hills.
Yeah.
You know, I look at those hills now in a car and I get scared. We used to walk up those hills backwards drinking. Talking, laughing, giggling like nothing. It would take us 3 hours to walk up 46th Street Hill now.
Yeah, those hills are big, they're long, they're steep. Man, you know, I used to run up them, ride the bike up them.
Yeah. I mean, we walked up that hill an average of 3 times a day. You think about that.
Yeah.
In the morning to go to school, and then at night. Sometimes we didn't want to use the bus. We cut through a goddamn cemetery.
Yes.
Who cuts through a cemetery? And the reason why I was scared of your area, 46th Street, was because they told me that that hill, when it would rain, it would wash up the cemetery and the caskets would flow down. Is that true?
No.
The Carcalos told me when he first moved into that house when he was a kid that the cemetery had washed up the bottom of the hill and that a casket, they had to come down there and fucking clean the casket up that had come out. So I always was spooked by 46th Street Hill.
Man. There was that, and then there was the one like by Larry McNeil's house.
That Flower was Hill. The scary one.
Flower Hill. We used to walk through that all the time.
I took the shit in that one night. It was freezing. I couldn't take it. And the guy was like buried in 1891. I'm like, fuck it. He's got no relatives. You know, the guy was old, you know. It was freezing. I couldn't take it.
Do you remember you'd walk through there and you'd see like the candles and the decapitated like chicken heads and stuff?
Oh, yeah. They did some dirty stuff in there at night. That was real in there at night. I got chased one night by some guys wearing like black cloaks in there one night, and I just kept running because you came out on 51st Street. There was a hole in the fence.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something like
a hole in the fence? Came out on Meadowview Avenue.
Right there on Meadowview Avenue. The Villa was quite the childhood we had, man. Too bad it's all over now.
You know what? You got memories, my friend. Memories.
That's all I live on. That's all I live on. I mean, we had each other's backs.
Yeah.
It's a different world today, you know. Can you imagine if they would have tried to tell us to stay in 1980?
You know, I had the same conversation with Johnny Rego the other day. And he says to me, I'll be honest with you. He goes, this thing scares me. He goes, and I was joking about it. He goes, but I've become the person that I've made fun of my entire life. Said, you know, and it's funny. I said, you know, you're right, man. I said, we would have basically just called you a pussy. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Right?
Do you think we would have been in the shed?
Yes. We would have not adhered to this. We may have paid a price. Who knows? Who knows what would have happened? But yeah, we would have. I understand. I understand people doing the things they do. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's.
I mean, my thing was I was going to go home and shoot, and go watch you play on the 14th on Saturday in Guttenberg of March, and I just saw the whole framework end. Like every day, the news got worse after that Monday.
It did.
It was like, it was quick. So, and I hear now that New Jersey's a hotbed, you know, Governor Murphy's only going to open up a part of the state. And I'm like, if they think that these libtards in California are crazy when they open up the beach, what are you going to do down in Seaside? Memorial Day weekend. How are you going to keep those animals? Can you imagine them telling us in 1982, don't come down the shore?
Never would have flown. Nah, we would have been arrested. We would have, yeah.
It would have been a different fucking world. We wouldn't have cared. So but we also were kids that were used to being out.
Yeah. I don't think it would have been as hyped up as it is today.
Well, the media was nowhere. We had encyclopedias.
The news was on, what, twice a day?
Yeah.
Maybe three times. I guess it was on the afternoon, too, when we were at school, like lunchtime or something.
And they told you dick.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you shit. You know, it's not like now that they're reaching for news. You know, they didn't tell you dick.
Yeah.
There's 3 hours of news on, and they don't tell you dick. At the last 10 minutes, they show you the blind boy that can play the drums, like to try to, you know, save the day, but it's too late. You already shit in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Now you want to give me a fucking lollipop. It's too late. You know. Bills, we're old school. What do you want from me? You know, I got a curse in my tongue.
Nothing but love for you, brother.
My brother, it's been a real pleasure. I'm happy you took the time because I wanted to introduce the world, the friends that made me who I am today. And you're one of those guys. You know what I was thinking about the other day? I was talking to James. And we were talking about that year when we started eating stuff. you remember people went on an eating spree, and there was a party for Halloween at the high school, and somebody look at you. You're going to hold your face. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You're going to piss off the Peter people.
You got to piss off what?
Peter people.
I don't know who it was. He took a garbage can and he tied live mice to the tails of the garbage, to the mice.
You know who it was. There was a
no
few
names. No there names, right? There was a few of them. Did you eat a mouse?
No, it wasn't me. I was still a junior. There was the senior masquerade party.
You're absolutely right.
There were people that went as garbage and they had live mice hanging from the garbage can. Yeah.
And they started biting the mice, and people started crying and shit.
People crying and vomiting, and yeah.
I still remember somebody biting the mouse in the tail, just sticking out of the guy's mouth while he was smoking. I think it was Mike Ruddy had the tail.
Oh, my God.
You know, you can't write this. I was trying to think.
You can't make this stuff up. You can't.
I was trying to think about who lived a couple blocks up, a couple doors up from Ron Burkle. There was somebody that we hung out with from time to time. A couple doors up, he was a football player. Who's the guy that ate the dog shit that day that we were hanging around? Remember when we were kids, we always passed the hat around for everything? We would always pass a hat around. There, you want to get beers, pass a hat around. Put $3 in there. Put $2 in there. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day we played hooky and we went to his house and his father was a cop and he took the gun down and he started playing Russian roulette.
I can't remember his name.
And then his mother had like a little yard and she had like a French poodle. And the dog used to take little shits, and the mom would never clean up the backyard. So one day we're out there, like eight of us were freezing. We're passing the joint around. And out of nowhere, he goes, "How much would you give me to eat a piece of shit?" And we're like, "Pass the hat around." We passed the hat around.
Yeah, and he did it.
Who the fuck was that kid?
I can't remember. I can't remember the name, but I know who you're talking about.
Because we went on an eating spree. Like, people were trying to do it, you know.
Yeah, you were trying to outdo each other, right?
Was it? Yeah.
You were trying to outdo each other, and it was that whole thing. Like, if you think about it, you had Ozzy and Zappa, and you had people who were trying to gross each other out and one-up each other all the time. And so, you know, we decided to do it, too, which was, you know, what were we thinking? But yeah, you know, there was mice, there was snakes, there was...
Oh, that's right. We'd go to the cemetery and knock the tombstones over. Mm. And there were little snakes that live under the tombstones. Yeah. And I still remember bringing the snake to fucking Nick's pizza parlor. And I put a snake on the counter and he almost shit. Poor Nick.
Oh, Nick, we used to terrorize him. Nick had his own. Nick was a cool dude, but yeah.
Nick was one of the best pizza guys we ever had. He would put his Sicilian pie by the window, and all the flies would land on it. It was like a takeoff. It was like a little airport for the flies. He used to call you Ayatollah Khomeini.
He used to call me Khomeini. I shaved my head, and I tried to grow a beard. It was this scraggly, disgusting-looking thing with no head. And I had no head. He's like, Khomeini.
And he used to call me Belushi. Because I fucked up once in his pizza parlor and I threw pepper at him and he banned me for like 30 days and he forgave me. But then I got him high on weed one night and he had to close up the shop.
That must have been funny.
He came out to the car and he's like, "What are you smoking?" So we just gave him like a hit of weed. We came back an hour later to eat and the pizza parlor was closed. We asked him the next day, "Nick, what happened to you?" And he's like, "That stuff was good stuff," because he had that Greek accent.
Yeah, good stuff. He had to go home. He had to go home.
Avillo, it's a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
It's a pleasure to be here, man.
I like this Zoom. I'm starting to like it now. If I could see my old friends and talk with them, this will work. Put you on the podcast, talk some shit. Let them know.
Before you guys go, Can you explain more about the throwing the chairs at the concert? You kind of just glossed over. Were you throwing it at the band? What were you throwing the chairs at?
No, it was just, you know, everybody. Like Ted Nugent, it was an unbelievable show. Where we were sitting, Bon Scott ran through the...
With Angus Young
on his shoulders. He ran right past us. We were in the front orchestra section, front right orchestra section, if you're looking at the stage. And so Ted comes out, plays a great show, comes out again for an encore, you know, and plays Stranglehold, and then does Cat Scratch Fever, and you know, everybody's going crazy, and nobody's leaving. No, the lights are up, nobody's leaving. Everybody's Ted. He comes out again, he plays a song by Chuck Berry called Carol. So he starts that song off, and with that, somebody, it wasn't one of us, I don't claim to start this thing, somebody throws a chair in the air. That's all that had to be done. Next thing you know, all the lunatics that we're with just start winging chairs and just throwing them in the air.
Oh my God.
Just throwing them up in the air. You see these chairs flying. And next thing you know, everybody's orchestra section is throwing chairs and people are getting out of the way. And there's this huge pile of chairs with a sea of people around. And it was just, you just saw things flying in the air. And there was nothing that security could do about it. Not a thing.
If I go back to the craziest concert, that had to be the one, because I still remember getting on the bus and people had ghetto blasters playing Highway to Hell on the bus. People would just go over there to hang out, even if they didn't get tickets, because there were so many scalpers in those days.
Yeah.
You got tickets for $10, $8, $15, you know. So, but I still remember like just being excited. Do you remember going to see Ted out in the Meadowlands?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I walked home after Aerosmith.
Aerosmith was terrible.
Terrible. It was too fucking hot. And I still remember walking on Route 3 and you could hear Ted fucking wailing out there. But it was just amazing how we were always safe.
Yeah.
In all those concerts, because there were so many of us from our hometown.
Yeah.
Like, I still remember seeing AC/DC at the Palladium, and we were all in one section. There had to be 40 of us in one section. We just took the section over, you know. It's hard to tell people, but it was true.
Yeah.
I still remember going to see Ozzy with Dee Dee and him getting into a fist fight because some guy was drunk and trying to dry hump his leg and shit at some concert. Dee Dee just unloaded on the guy. It was a very unique childhood that we had, and I want people to see how lucky we were in a way. My daughter's never going to have half the fun that we had growing up. I'm sure your daughters, do you tell her about these things, or you don't mention
it? It never comes up, you know. I don't bring it up. What stays in the past, what's in the past stays in the past. I'll talk with you about this stuff. I get together like... I was on a Zoom with Higgins and Wheeler and Sharples the other night, and we wound up talking about some of this wacky stuff that we did. And people who weren't there don't truly appreciate it. I don't think, you know, you had to be there. It was so free. We had so much freedom, you know, to do almost whatever we wanted. And the thing was, you know, you went to school, you did what you had to do. You know, we went to school, did my schoolwork. I played sports. I was an athlete. When I was on the field, I was there 100%. And when you were out with your friends, you were there with them 100%.
100%.
100%. Everything you did 100%. It was just, I don't know, it was a great time.
You know, I wrote the story out I'm doing an audio book, and it's funny when I write the stories out and then I read them and I don't believe them myself. I have to call you or Dee Dee or Lubes and just get confirmation. Like, I have to call Devo sometimes, Mike A, or I have to call James. And I really got to get confirmation that this happened, you know. Because sometimes it just feels like I was talking to you the other night about the Halloween party we went to that year. and we dressed up like ghosts, or I don't know what the fuck we dressed up.
We, you know what we went as.
Yes. We're not going to mention it.
No, we're not going to mention it. There was a reason why we went, because of Chardy, Chardy's nickname. But Paul Chardy, right. I think, if I remember. But yeah, that was a crazy party up in Gamio's attic.
Yes.
Garage.
And I think me and Lubes had done some mescaline. That's what we called it in those days.
Yes.
The micro dot mescaline, and the clock was moving fast. But I was telling you, I still remember there was a hole in the middle of the ground with attic with a ladder to it. Yeah. And your goal was to talk to somebody and back them up so they could fall through the hole.
You know, you look at that. People fell through the hole because they weren't paying attention. But then you had people like Folk and John Garrity. And I think Kevin Valentine, they were diving down head first for fun.
I still remember Folk was dressed up like the devil, and he dove down, and he came up, and his horns were bent.
Yes. And I just, that's right.
And I just, till this day, I just could not. You know, I still remember getting on a bus with you guys. My job was to torment the number one bus driver. Like, I became a comedian on the number one bus. Like, that's where I learned to become a comedian.
Yeah.
Because when you got on the bus in the morning, the bus came from Jersey City, and it was filled with heroin addicts that would get methadone. A lot of people don't remember that stuff.
No, I don't remember.
So I used to be in the CIE work study program. So my first class was at 7:30. So I would leave fucking 38th Street at 7 a.m. And they would just open up that methadone clinic. So I would have to ride the bus with a bunch of junkies nodding. And I started waking them up by farting. That was my thing, was just to fart and to blow the air on the junkies.
Bad farts,
man. Oh, my God.
Always. Always. Sophomore year. We're coming back from Bricktown after playing. And the bus broke down. They had to send another bus to get us. We wind up playing the game, and then we're coming back, and it's super late. And we had cheerleaders on the bus with us and everything like that. And it's cold out. Next thing you know, people are opening the windows and gasping for air. It was you. You're sitting in the back laughing like a hyena. Everybody else is screaming, trying to get the windows down. They're all stuck.
That's what... One of the coaches said he's changing flavors because I farted. What happened was I was eating steakums, and they got stuck in my system. I hadn't shit for like 2 weeks. So I went on that bus. I didn't tell nobody. Like, I had this gastric problem, and I blew a fart. And I still remember Laurie Rosa was her name, one of those Rosa girls.
Marine.
After the second dose of farts, the cheerleader was crying. And I'll never forget laughing my ass off. Like, till this day, people are like, who was farting? And they were blaming. Like, immediately, I blame somebody else.
Did you blame? I remember. Did you blame Conti?
You might have blamed Glenn. I blame somebody else. Let's beat him up.
You did. I think you blamed Glenn. I think he did. And they start yelling at him, and you're laughing. I know it's you. And people are screaming, trying to get...
Oh my God, it was classic fucking Diaz. Steve Avila, I love you.
I love you too, brother.
Thank you for taking the time, man. And if you want to check out, you have a Facebook page for the Past Masters?
Yeah.
I don't know when touring's going to resume. We're all stuck.
It's our website's tpmrocks.com, and we're also on Facebook. Just look for the Past Masters.
All right, brother. I love you. Thank you for doing this for me.
My pleasure.
Have a great week. Give the girls a kiss.
You too. Do the same.
You got it, brother.
Kiss Lee. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, Steve.
So long, guys.
All right. Listen, the sound of it was, in the beginning, was a little fucked up, but you guys got the hint, how we grew up a little bit. I mean, Steve wasn't a part of my criminal past, nothing like this. We were just young kids exploring. Like he said, we went to a bunch of concerts. And his shed, really, I mean, I had Dark Side of the Moon, but he introduced me to animals. He introduced me to Wish You Were Here. He introduced, him and his family introduced me to so much fucking music. It was just pathetic. I'm happy you got to hear the Ted Nugent story. And we threw the chairs up in the air, and I wasn't sitting with them. I was sitting on the side with this chick named Chris Morgan, who was a dear friend of mine. And I still remember throwing like three or four chairs. You know, we got stories for days, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. It's so funny. Lee was saying that things get bad. He's thinking of selling his underwear. I go, he's going to sell your underwear to women, like chubby women? He goes, nah, guys. I go, guys, oh my God, that's a brilliant fucking idea.
Hey, they have go to Reddit.com. They got tons of people doing it.
Go Reddit.com.
No, go Reddit.com.
Reddit.com.
And you just search men's underwear. Like, obviously, women's underwear goes for a lot more because there's creepy guys like us buying it. But I saw people selling it for like 30 to 50 bucks a pair.
Let me tell you something. I'll take my fucking little uncircumcised dick. I'll bang out two jerk offs. I'll take the sperm off, but I'll rub it on the helmet to mix it up with the pee. It's like a sperm martini to a fag. I'll sell you my underwears, not me undies. Classic tidy whities with a little skid mark, just to take you back. I'll decorate it for you. I even fart in there and leave it. It'll look like a fucking got shot. Well, one of those guns from the 1400s.
Shotguns?
No, the other ones. The ones that spray like.
Oh, a musket.
It looks like it's got shot with a musket. I'll sell you those underwears for the small 2000. You know me. I got no fucking shame. Yes, oh, yeah. I do. I can't sell men underwear to men. That's torturing. I'm a little young guy smelling my dick. How would I sleep at night? I'm a Catholic. You know what I'm saying? I can't put up with that
you
shit.
You don't care about that. Don't talk about the Benjamins.
Fuck that. Nah, I can't. There's a lot of shit I can't do, guys, that I just wouldn't do. I just can't do against who I am and who I belong, you know? It's like cameo's nice, but I can't sell you a video of me yelling at you. If I want to make a video of me yelling at you, trust me, I'll yell at you eventually if you like. Today, leave it at fucking that. Listen, I hope you enjoy these. We're going to do my friend Dennis Colangelo on Wednesday. Next week, we're doing a two-parter with the man who knows me better than anybody. This guy is my longest lasting. He's seen me at my worst, and he's seen me at my best. I'm going to give you a couple weeks of these just to let you know what the fuck has happened. So when the book, the audio book gets released, you guys are on it. You guys know that fucking these are bona fide. And I want you to see what the state of mind was. But the state of mind this week, motherfuckers, is gambling. It's back. We ain't fucking around here at my bookie. UFC 249. Ferguson Gaethje. Tremendous. Ferguson's a fucking killer. But you know what? You know me. Don't sleep on fucking Gaethje. Because he's a fucking savage too. And they got a bunch of other great fucking fights on that card. The card don't stop. Then you got two more fights nights. Wednesday the 13th, you got Smith against Teixeira. And then Saturday the 16th, you got Overeem against Harris. So I'm giving you three fucking ways to make geeters. Plus, they still got the casino open with a live fucking dealer and fucking foreigners not breathing down your neck. You're playing cards with other fucking people, okay? That's what my bookie does to you. They're going to have side bets for you. For this UFC fight, what do you think it's just going to be? They're going to have an over and under, submissions, knockouts. They got everything but a fucking ham sandwich, bisque. And if that's not enough, this is what I'm going to do for you. This Saturday, for the church family, my bookie's giving out risk-free bet up to $49. That's right, risk-free. If you're already missing out enough action as it is. So my bookie wanted you to give you a little something extra to be, for being a part of the show. Is that cool or not? I take care of you fucking savages. So, do me a favor. Head over to mybookie.ag. You're going to bet anyway. Head over to mybookie.ag/Joey and make some fucking bets. What's so hard about that? You'll be supporting the church. You'll be supporting yourself. Plus, you put a little ching-a-ling in your fucking pocket. And you're doing good work and keeping your ass at fucking home, which is what matters, all right? before these people start walking around with missing eyebrows, going down to the beach with Confederate flags. Anyway, head over to my bookie. They're going to give you 50% of your initial deposit in bonus funds. That means if you deposit a G-note, $1,000, they're going to give you an extra $500 just like that. More money in your pocket to play with and more opportunity to win with. Open your browser and punch in mybookie.ag and get ready to make some money, all right? Who's better than you? You got Ferguson, Gagey, you want to pick? I ain't got dick for you. But what I tell you I will do is everybody's going to be trying to let me just give you one hint. Everybody's going to be trying to figure out play Johnny Houdini. Now, again, you see any of the fortune tellers open in Hollywood anymore? Fuck no. If they didn't see the fucking Chinese people coming with Hunan, they're not going to see who's going to tell you the winner of Ferguson. So, why play Houdini? Find the weakest fight on the card and bet that and win money. It's like making a bet and going to bed and waking up with an envelope next door to you. It's like the fucking fairy tale godmother came to you. You understand me? So, Ferguson and Gagey, the fight you're going to watch. But I want you to look at the undercard. There's always a fucking hidden gem in those undercards. Wait for the fucking weigh-ins. Take a look at the disposition of the fights. See if there's a fighter there who's maybe nervous because the coronavirus is going around. And make a decision from that. We're going to make some money this weekend. We got to make some fucking money this weekend. So go to mybookie.ag/Joey, all right? And take my advice. Don't be a fucking gavone. Take an over and under. Pick a fucking guy and sit back and pick up a little dough and build your bankroll because I got more coming for you. Also, the church would love to introduce to you Magic Spoon. Let me tell you something. I'm happy Magic Spoon's sponsoring the show because they're making breakfast fun again. Remember when breakfast used to be fucking great? You fucking didn't even pee. You just ran downstairs and took the cereal off. And you had like three different selections to pick from, you know, and you poured them down and you ate and you talked with your brother or your grandmother. What happened to those days? We know what happened. They killed the cereal with sugar. You give a kid a bowl of cereal, you might as well give them a hit of Met. They got no nutritional value. They got nothing. That all changed. Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon is making breakfast feel like it's fucking the 4th of July. It's like Christmas morning. They got flavor, they got crunch of a kid's cereal, but it's healthy for adults. You're like, Joey, how can this be? How? 0 grams of sugar. Dean Del Rey's doing backflips while we speak. Not only that, we got 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. And you get, better ready for this one? 12 grams of protein, gluten-free. And who needs a prize when you have all that in a box? Nobody. And it takes too good to be true. So whatever you're craving, they got all 4 flavors based on all-time classics. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Plus a variety pack that lets you try all flavors. It's like a walk down fucking memory lane. Remember when you were a kid? That's all this is about. You're sick of fucking oatmeal. You've been eating oatmeal like you were in prison for the last 6 weeks. And how many fucking eggs can you eat before you die? Right now, Magic Spoon, gluten-free. My favorite flavor, let me tell you something. It's the chocolate, the cocoa, and the birthday cake. When they sent, let me tell you how funny it was. When they sent me the 4 boxes, I went on the website to see the flavors just to investigate them and read up everything and make sure there was no by the way for you guys. And I fell in love with it. I was just waiting to taste it. And they're tremendous. And for 11 grams of fucking protein, I had a bowl this morning. And then I checked it up against another leading competitor on cereal. My daughter eats a cereal. And I checked the numbers on Weight Watchers with what's in fucking cereal today. Your head will blow up. This is the way to go if you're an adult. This is the way to go if you're on a diet. This is the way to go if you're diabetic. This is the way if you're gluten-free, Magic Spoon. So right now, go to magicspoon.com/church, grab a variety pack, and try it. Be sure to press in code CHURCH, C-H-U-R-C-H, and they're going to throw in the free shipping, all right? And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. Happy and peppy and bursting with love. Danging and singing and dancing above. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your geeters, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/church. Use promo code church for free shipping. I want to thank Magic Spoon. I want to thank my bookie. But most importantly, I want to thank Steven Avillo. And I want to thank you guys for having my back and for knowing that we're here. We're here. I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know how you're making out this week. But for 1 hour, I tried to make you feel a lot fucking better, right? And that's all that counts. You know I love you motherfuckers. You know I got your back and I got the same motherfucking problems you got. Look at my hair. I look like Elvis gone wild. You know what I'm saying? Look at my fucking eyebrows. I could fucking pet a fucking eyebrow and get it off. You know what I'm saying? People were trying. Stay in. Enjoy your families. Love your families. Look at my hometown of North Bergen. Number 2 in the fucking state of New Jersey. And number 3 is Union City. Number 1 is Lakewood. They got those fucking acidic Jews. Those bastards. No offense, Lee, you know I love you. But those bastards should be shot and hung. They don't fucking dry clean their black suit. And then they don't take showers. It's like killing a skunk and taking a skunk belt off and putting it on top of you if you're a skunk to keep warm. It's like double trouble. They're like double skunks, these fucking acidic Jews. And I love them. You know what I mean? I want no harm intended to fucking the acidic Jews. I love them. But we got to control the flow. But most importantly, you got to keep on your game and keep slinging dick in your mind. Let me tell you something. When this started, I was down. You guys felt it in my voice. Listen to me now. I don't give a fuck. I got a plan. I know exactly how I'm going to execute it. And we got shit going on. That's all that means. Whether you're broke, whatever, get a plan going. You know what? I don't know when this is going to end. But when it does end, you're going to be right there with your dick out. And somebody's going to be on all fours with their mouth open. That's just the way things work out sometimes. I love you motherfuckers. I want to give a shout out to Magic Spoon. And I want to give out a shout-out to my bookie, Gagey Ferguson, bitch, Saturday. I'll see you guys Wednesday morning. Tip Top Magoo. Don't miss a beat. Same bat time. Same bat channel. Kick this fucking mule, Lee.